You are listening to the Spent the Rent podcast. And now, here's your host, Patty Rose.
Hello, I am Patty Rose, and this is the Spent the Rent podcast, season 6, episode 206, 206 episodes. This is pretty wild. I have some huge announcements I'd like to make. This is not my only project now. I'm now producing 3 podcasts. I'm doing this one, also the Eugene Real Estate podcast, hosted by Vince Casey. We're like 9 episodes deep. That is an awesome podcast. Check that one out. Also, Ivy Tower Talks, hosted by Daniel Ivy. This is a really unique one. This is going to be about Dungeons and Dragons and his storytelling company. And there's just so much to explain that's for a different day. But check out Eugene Real Estate Podcast with Vince Casey and also Ivy Tower Talks with Daniel Ivy. Also, I want to remind everybody listening that you can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can watch it on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, maybe LinkedIn. I'm not even sure yet. I don't know. But I know it's on YouTube and Facebook. Facebook is primarily probably the best place to find it. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to bring my guest on. My guest today is from On Point Community Credit Union is Brad Unger. Brad, welcome to the show.
Patty, thank you for having me back.
Yeah, this is cool. You guys reached out to me last year and said, hey, I like your name. I think your PR person was asking, spent the rent. And it's not about finance. My show is not about finance. It was I spent rent money on my first microphone to start this podcast. But I like to talk about ways that people that are the underrepresented in Lane County. And so one of the things that makes people underrepresented is lack of financial education sometimes. And so for some people, so what better opportunity than talk to somebody from a credit union that I know credit unions actually have a moral fiber, unlike big banks. That's my words, not yours. So you don't get added. So let's talk real quick about when you came on last year, what we talked about so that people don't have to go back and listen. And then we'll get into what we're here today. Today, we're going to talk about managing debt. But first off, I want to, quick bullet points on what the benefits are to choosing a credit union over a bank.
Yeah, so real simple. Banks are for profit. They have shareholders that they have to answer to. They have to show profit. Whereas a credit union is a cooperative, non-for-profit. We are owned by our members. So as you open a membership at a credit union, you become a shareholder in the credit union. So we give our benefits back to our members in the forms of lower rates on loans, higher rates on deposit accounts. So really the big difference is not for profit. We don't have to answer to shareholders. Our members are owners of our credit union, essentially.
I think the biggest thing that is free checking. I think that's the biggest thing that alone is all that needs to be said, because that's going to hit the most people, of why credit unions are better. And it's local and you support teachers. And I mean, On Point Community Credit. And full disclosure, I don't get paid to do this. This isn't these episodes. I have a pact with myself that I will not charge my guests to be, we'll talk about you guys sponsoring me after the show. But as far as being a guest per episode, you don't pay. That's just the way I do it, And so this is because I care about what you guys do, Anyway, thank you so much for being here. We're going to talk a little bit about managing debt. But before we do, let's mention the economy. I want to know one thing, and I know this is just your opinion off the record, not off the record. We're very much on the record. But is the economy doing well or is it not? It depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously am not an economist, sure. Nor do I play one on TV. Is it getting better? If you look at where things are at, yeah, I mean, the numbers say it's getting better. Inflation's coming down. Unemployment's really low. So, yeah, number-wise, and what the data shows, the economy is getting better. It is headed the right direction, if you will say. It's debatable as a consumer that anybody really feels that way.
Yeah.
It's so
hard.
We see prices still elevated. People's paychecks are still smaller. They don't go as far as they used to do. So number wise, yeah, is it getting better? I don't think that all of us as consumers really feel it. But again, my opinion, I'm not a economist by all means.
like I had mentioned Vince Casey and the Eugene Real Estate podcast, actually, we're going to be recording an episode tonight where we're talking to a chief economist. So I'm going to have to see if I can have him ask about that. So I want to address the staggering statistics of American debt. 17.06 trillion and the soaring credit card balances. You see it in the banking, just how much just mess people can get themselves into, you know, easily, you know. What are some indicators, though, about the economy? What are some indicators that bankers see that show signs and swings in the economy?
That might be a little bit above my pay grade,
right?
You know, but I think I just want to kind of touch back to that $17 trillion.
Sure.
I mean, if you put that into perspective, that's $50,000 a person, including kids.
Wow.
That debt load is to the consumers in the United States population. $1 trillion of that is just credit cards.
Wow.
Just credit cards. So it is very concerning to hear those numbers and really look at that debt load that people are carrying.
Yeah. I mean, the government has 16 and people have one.
Yeah. No, right.
It's a different issue. I don't even know. There is some, and again, we're not economists, but I've heard people say that the debt doesn't matter. So there's so many different opinions out there. I've heard people say that it really doesn't mean anything. And I think that kind of has more to do with the fact that the people that we owe, it's such a massive amount that it's like we're both screwed, because if they can't afford us not to pay them, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, and when I'm saying they, I mean China. But it's pretty wild. I don't know how we're going to get out of that. And the $50,000 number is alarming, but you know, kids have little hands. They can do a lot with those. But but is there any time when you're in banking? I mean, how long have you been? Were you working in 2008 in the industry?
Yeah, I've been banking for little over 23 years.
Was there any indicator? So, I mean, you know, you must have seen the subprime mortgage stuff coming along.
What you really started seeing back then is people were starting to use their homes as piggy banks.
Yeah.
I mean, equity loans are tied to prime, and prime was low. I mean, and I don't want to like single myself out, but I was working not for OnPoint at the time, but a larger financial institution that is no longer around anymore. And we were incentivized to produce these loans. Now, they were great loans. They were great for the consumer. But what ended up happening is people would come in, they'd get these loans so quickly, such a large dollar amount, and they'd use them to pay off their debt. They'd buy boats, they'd buy cars, they'd buy motorhomes. And then the market crashed. And then you've got all these people that are upside down in these houses with no way to get out of it. So what do? Foreclosures picked up, you know, deed and lose, short sales. It was a rough time be a banker, you know, at that time, and to be a consumer. But I think that was kind of the big swing where you kind of started wondering, and my wife's in banking. She's been in banking longer than I have. And so we both were in it at that time. You kind of saw it at that point, like, hey, what's happening here? Like, people are taking all this money, this equity, because rates are super low. And you wondered, is this bubble? Is this going to burst? Like, right. You know, home prices were going up. Rates were super low. People were just flush with this cash that they were just drawn out of their house. It's got to come to a crashing end some point. And my wife and I both were just like, hey, what? This can't go on. Like, it's not feasible.
Right.
You know, and I think at that point is when we started like, and then, you know what, hit the fan.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, The Big Short is a great movie that people can watch about that.
Oh yeah.
If you're a youngster, or if you're just unaware of how this works and you're kind of new to thinking about finance and investing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, just the housing market crash,
and how
it's amazing, and it really covers it, and it's got some big names. So The Big Short's a good one to check out. Where do you, as an individual, where do you get your information? I like asking this question, that you think is reliable about finance and about that kind of stuff?
Numerous places. I always tell this story. I tell it to my team. You know, when I got into banking 23 plus years ago, I remember one time, and I started as a teller just to give people my background. And then I moved over to the platform side and became a banker. And I remember I had this gentleman come in and ask me a question that I should know the answer to. And it was a basic like banking question. Did you see this in the news? And I felt so dumb because I did not know that answer. So from that point on, and I still to this day, I get to work. The first thing I do, I log in, I go to Yahoo Finance. It's the first site I go to. And I look at Yahoo. I read through the news articles. I look at NBC. I look at local news. I get all my information from multiple sources, yeah. National, local. Yahoo Finance is great for, you know, if you want to look at stocks and see what's going on. They go deep into some stuff that the average person probably doesn't want to look at. But I get all my news from numerous sites. You know, I the Oregonian I look at for state stuff. You yeah. know, I look at, of course, KEZI, the Register Guard for local, Crestwell Chronicle, if you want to go down south a little bit further. So any national, local, they're all, a lot of them is a lot of overlap, but you can get some USA Today is another good site to get.
Well, I think overlap is good because you see what's being universally reported, you know, like, and that's yeah. where you start to find truths. Is when stuff is right. being reported by multiple outlets, regardless of their narrative. So I think it's so important to look at the different, you know, for any topic. I mean, finance is just one, because there's going to be people that, I mean, I'm just going to say it, the people that run the companies that, you know, I mean, advertising is what pays for newspapers, but these companies are owned by these big conglomerates. So they have a narrative. So they're going to make sure that the editor puts the stories that helps their bottom line. And so, yeah, right. But I mean, that's how I've learned to kind of at least find my truth, is that you have to look yeah. at what's being repeated on both sides and across the board. Yep. So the Chronicle, shout out to the yep. Chronicle. That is an awesome paper. So,
yeah.
So let's get into what we're here for today. We're talking about managing debt. This is something that is near and dear to me. I've been very vocal about this on my podcast. I am a recovering alcoholic. I've been sober now 8 years. And, when I was at my lowest, I went into the bank to deposit 86 cents. My account was 86 cents overdrawn. So I found a dollar and quarters in my couch and I went to the bank for real. And I was like, I need to deposit this. They're like, you know, you're eligible. This was at Bank of America. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I did. But, they're like, you know, that, you're eligible for this overdraft protection on this credit card. And I was like, oh my God, really? Sure. How much? They're like $2,500 and we can give it to you today, the card. So I got the card that day and I immediately went and bought steak. You know, like I went, racked up debt, ended up fast forward a couple years and I had like 6 cards maxed out at like $13,000 in debt. So what I did was, you know, I paid off one at a time slowly. And I just started with, I'm going to start with the biggest one. And I just, everything I had outside of what I was making, and it was really painful. And I was lucky that I had a partner that we split an apartment that was well below our means. And everything I made beyond that, I just put towards that credit card for a full year. And I still ate like I was broke, you know, and it worked. And now I'm a homeowner and all that good stuff. And so I'm a success story on that. And I've had a lot of help from, at least with support, you know, and a 2 income household is clutch in this world. That's yeah. Unfortunately probably necessary in all ways, but I want to discuss various options and your insights on various options available to people struggling with debt. So what do you have on that?
So I think the big thing, and we might've talked about this in the last podcast, but I always tell people when you struggle with debt, the key to start with is a budget. And you will be surprised on how many people do not have a budget. And that's what we see, or I see, where the problem all starts is people don't know what's coming in. They don't know what's going out. So then you fall back to those credit cards to make up the difference. So first things first, budget. I'll probably say it there. On Point, we have a budget worksheet you can use. Most banks have them on their websites. Create a budget, start from there.
Yeah.
Big thing on struggling with debt, I tell people to know you're not alone. We've all been there. You just shared your story. I personally, again, same thing, younger years. Here's a credit card at 18 years old.
Yeah.
Sweet. I've got $2,000 and I just can buy whatever I want with this yeah. little magical plastic card. And then, of course, banks like to go, oh, now here's $4,000. Oh, great. And I got 2 more thousand. And they keep jacking it up. And then you get to a point that you're in trouble. Banks don't do that as much now as they did back in the late 90s when I got my credit card. Start with the budget. Look at your options. Depending on your credit card debt, if it's credit card debt, if it's personal loans, if it's auto loans, you hit the nail on the head with the way you did it. We make recommendations to people. There's multiple ways to help pay off your debt. Your way of doing it was starting with the biggest one. There's a couple different methods. There's the snowball method and the avalanche method. I don't know if you've heard those terms, but snowball method, start with the smallest balance, make the minimum payment on your other debts, start dumping on that smallest balance till you pay that off.
And that might have been
you a nice,
not to interrupt, but that might have been what I did. I don't remember, to be honest. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
And that one's great for small wins. Like, yeah. Hey, I paid this card off. And then when that one's done, you take that money, do the same thing with your next one. Take that extra money, do that. Or the avalanche method is the kind of the other way around, where you pay the highest interest rate off first and dump all your, make your minimum payments on the lower other ones, dump all your extra money onto that one until it chips away. I usually start with people with that. Hey, I'm struggling with debt. Okay, let's look at your income. Let's look at where you're at. Could we do a consolidation loan? Possibly. You know, you're looking at your average credit card balance in the United States, our rate is 20%. Where if you look at like a fixed rate personal loan, you know, the highest there are 17, 18%. Could we consolidate some of that debt? Maybe. We might be able to. Problem with personal loans is, you have a ton of credit card debt. Can we fit you into this personal loan product to consolidate that? Possibly. But then we got to look at your debt ratios. There's all the factors that come in. So personal loans are great for that purpose. You have a fixed payment. You have a fixed term. You know you're going to be done in 5 years, let's say.
You can't keep charging it up either, you know.
You can't. And that's the key. If we do consolidation loans, if you're listeners go do a consolidation loan or do a balance transfer to a 0% interest. The key is make the decision with that other card or those cards, what you're going to do with them. Now, right. I don't usually recommend people closing stuff out because it could impact your credit.
Right.
If you've had those trade lines for a long time.
Or emergencies. Because sometimes you have to kick the can down the road, you know?
Yeah. You've got to make that decision that, hey, I need to close these, or I need to call the lender and say, hey, can you cut this down to like $1,000? Because I can manage $1,000 and have it as emergencies. But you've got to make that decision and that conscious effort to get rid of the cards or cut them down, you know, limit wise, because we see it all the time. We'll do a consolidation loan. We'll have this great conversation. We'll point them on their path to, you know, financial freedom, if you will. And then 6 months to a year, they come back and you're in the same ballpark. So it takes a lot. You're a great example, your story there. I mean,
yeah,
you did it. It probably wasn't easy.
No, but, and the thing that's tough I was in a position where I did have enough. I didn't make a ton of money, to be honest, but I just didn't have a lot of overhead. You know, I just didn't have, it's shout out to my sponsor, Oregon Cash Flow Pro. He talks about cash flow, you know, outflow versus inflow, and how you got to just make sure that there's less going out than coming in. I mean, it's pretty simple, you know, but it's not simple when people, I don't want to be insulting to people that are struggling. That's the thing that's tough about these tips is that, you know, there's so many people that are like, I can't though, because groceries are too expensive and I just don't make enough money and all that. And so it's so tough. The one thing, not to get off track, but there's a lot of opportunities nowadays to make money with hobbies and different things. But the scary thing about that, and that's a whole different conversation, is that they also take investing into it. And so you have to take a leap of faith, but I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to talk more about credit reports. You know, you'd mentioned different, you know, how a credit can affect your financial situation. Credit score is really important, unfortunately, in this country. I want you to highlight some of the importance of checking one's credit report and understanding its impact. Do you guys offer credit reports at OnPoint?
We don't. If you apply for a loan with OnPoint, we will tell you your credit score and we can go over your credit report with you to verify what's on there. But as far as actually physically giving you a copy, no. Yeah. By doing that, we're acting as a credit reporting agency, which we're not.
And I know you can't, and I'm saying this, not you, but I used Credit Karma. You know, it's a separate thing. And obviously you're working for someone. So I'm the amateur, you're the professional, but I'm going to say it. Credit Karma was one that I used and I like it because they do want a lot of your information and I'm sure they sell it. So this isn't an endorsement for them. I'm just saying that it worked for me that you could check an average ballpark of your credit score. Yeah. And I really think that's a reliable source where you can learn a lot. I learned a lot from it because I would see that number and it became a game to me. When I was going through that credit card stuff, that's what I did. Where I would be like, what's my credit card? You know, that was the reward, was that credit karma, the number would go up by 20 points, you know? And then I started dancing and I was like, I got this.
I always tell people credit karma, they use their own formula. Sure. So don't get real hung up on what credit karma says your credit score is. Cause I would guarantee if you came in here, I'd tell you a different number.
Yeah. But it does show you if you're trending upwards.
It does give you an idea. It gives you definitely. Another one is everybody gets a copy of their credit report for free from the government, annualcreditreport.com. Make sure if you go to that site, it says the offered by the U.S. government, you can get a copy of your credit report to see what's on there. You have to pay for your scores. And I don't know what the cost is. I haven't looked for a while, but you can see your credit report and see everything that is on there. It's extremely important to do. I do it every year. I am a stickler with my credit. It's taken me, you know, my 46 years of life to keep my credit where it's at. And I want to keep it that way. I always tell people, look at it, catch it early. You can fix it. The problem is most of the time people don't check their credit when they come into the branch or the bank or their credit union. Hey, I want to get a car loan. And I haven't had my credit checked for 10 years and I've got a 500 credit score because someone stole my identity and I didn't know about it. Check it at least every year. If you sign up like Credit Karma or, you know, a lot of times you can get other sites that will give you a credit report for free every 6 months. Check it often, make sure it's current. I personally have had a credit line on my credit report that wasn't mine. Wow. I years ago bought a mattress from some mattress company when I was in my 20s and it was through Wells Fargo and they had 90 days same as cash. And I'm like, great, sure, I will do that. Get off in 90 days. So yep, that was sure enough on my trade line. And right below that, there was a joint account, same Wells Fargo, same amount with some gal that I had no idea who she was.
Wow.
So,
and it could be identity.
It was paid off.
Wow. I wonder if it's just that could be a clerical error and not identity theft. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody thinks it's just some awful thing, but it could just be an error that people make.
And it was exactly, I called Wells Fargo. It was Wells Fargo Finance. They used to have this finance arm that did things like that. And I called them and I said, hey, this is on here. It's not me. She said, yeah, that got submitted to them in a batch and somehow they're right next to each other and it just populated my credit report. They took it off. Now, granted, lucky for me, no impact to my credit because it was a closed loan. But again, you know, it's something to check on. I share this story all the time. Someone's using my social security number. I know who he is. And I know where he lives, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Wow.
Because it's not identity theft because he's just using my social. He's using his name and date of birth.
Weird.
Frustrating, yes. But reason number 10,000 why you should check your credit report.
Yeah.
I need to make sure that the credit he's getting is not for some reason populating over to my credit report because my social is on there. Now, granted, credit bureaus, they look at your name, your dates of birth, your social security number, addresses, employers. There's lots of things that factor into your personal credit report. However, there's a chance in my situation that it could populate over to my report. Wow. So yes, check it often. Unfortunately, like you said, credit is, you know, cash is king, but nowadays credit is king.
Yeah,
so
yeah. And it's all about, you know, managing debt. We're talking about for people that are finding themselves in debt, but managing debt is also how you come up in finance is that, you know, so you and that's a whole different conversation that maybe we'll have next year, but I want to say, you know, working on campus, I deal with college kids and I get people that will come in and be like, what do you do? How do you improve your credit? How do you know, like, I don't even have credit and it's hard for me to get anything. So one of the things that I've talked about to them in the past was, well, first of all, what I would say is that what you do is you make horrible, this is hilarious, but I would say you make horrible decisions and then you fix them. That's like the best and worst advice on how to improve your credit. But I just said, you know, I actually went and I bought at Fred Meyer Jewelries or whatever. I started a quick $125 loan for a necklace that I could totally afford. And I paid it off over like 5 months, $25 a month, whatever it is, just so that I was establishing credit. And then I wasn't going to buy jewelry because that's just not me. So So it was a smart one. That worked for me. They were willing to give me that with a low credit score. But like I said, that first credit card, and then they gave me the next one and the next one, and they probably knew I was burying myself. But I mean, that's a big one. But what are some, I want to talk about impacts on your credit score. I know that it's so hard to navigate how this algorithm actually works for the different places, but what are some major things that you know are the biggest impacts on your credit? I think it's revolving credit is the biggest.
Yeah, it depends. I want to touch base on what you said about making a mistake. I remember last time we talked, you said the same thing. And I said, please stop telling these kids that, because there's new ways to get credit. So
that's good.
Anyway, but yeah, there's numerous things that impact your credit. And there's not like, I can't tell you if you have three revolving cards, your score is going to be 10 points lower. It is this formula that the credit bureaus created somewhere. It's in a vault that who knows has the key to that figures it out. The big thing that you'll see impact on your credit is late payments are huge. 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days. Those are huge. Those are huge dings to your credit score. 30 day lates, I mean, it's going to drop you significantly.
Yeah.
Now it's, can I tell you it's going to drop you 100 points? No. Is it going to drop you 20, 30? Pretty probably.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's going to. That is the big one. Pay your bills on time. That would impact you more than anything. I tell people this all the time. Make your payments on time. 30 days, 90 days, 60 days, 90, 120. If you're late with your lender on your credit card, as long as you might have to pay a late fee, but as long as you get that payment in there before that 30 days, they're not going to report it to the credit bureau. Pay your bill on time, big thing. Other things that can happen is your revolving limits. If you have two $20,000 credit cards and they're maxed out, that's going to impact your credit score significantly. Now, if you look at, you have two $20,000 cards and you have 20 on one and zero on the other, it's going to be different. You're using, we call that your revolving utilization.
Yeah.
So at that, in that scenario, you have 50% of your revolving balances used. A little bit on the high side, not as bad if you're maxed out.
Over 10 is frowned, is like, they don't like it. So
it depends. The other big thing is inquiries that impact your credit score. Anytime you come in to, you come in here to OnPoint, you want to apply for a loan, we ask you, hey, is it okay if we pull your credit? Sure. That counts as an inquiry. It's a hard inquiry on your credit report. That's going to be seen by other lenders that pull your credit that says, hey, on December 8th, Patty came into OnPoint and got his credit pulled. Multiple inquiries can impact your credit score. Now, if you're car shopping, different story. You go to a car dealership, they run you through six different lenders. That's going to count as one inquiry on the same day.
On the same
day. It's the next day.
That's a big distinction.
Same day.
Yeah.
Same thing if you're shopping for mortgages. We want you to get the best rate, even if it's not with us. Obviously, we want your business, but if it's not with us, shop around. So if it's all in the same day, it's going to count as one inquiry or within a few days of each other. Those are the big things, but late payments are the killer to your credit score. And that is the number one thing. Late payments. The other thing you'll see too, collection accounts, that kills your credit score. If you decide, hey, I'm not paying Comcast this bill because they're wrong, I'm not going to pay it, they send you to collections, guess what shows up in your credit report?
Right.
That $200 Comcast bill. And now your credit score is going to go down significantly because of it.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that happened to me as well when I was young, that I just student loans that I, well, they didn't go to collections. I had some other stuff that did, but medical and stuff, but student loans, I didn't even open the bills. And I just, every once in a while I would call and be like, can I get a forbearance? And then my my loan was for $7,000. My dad paid half for me to go. And when I paid off my loan for the $3,500 that I owed, I paid $8,000.
Yeah.
22 years later. And it, to be on full disclosure, it took an I got a small inheritance when I lost my mom. And I was like, well, I better do this. And I paid it all in full. And then they were like, after I did, I kind of was talking to the person on the phone and I made some comments about how much money it was. And she's like, you know, I didn't even think of this and I'm sorry, but we could have lowered it. So always ask, just remember always that. Ask. Always ask. If you have a car loan with a bank, you can ask, can I skip, you know, you will incur interest, you know, but can I skip this payment this month? And they'll work with you. It's just, you have to ask. It's your setup. The bank, the credit union is there to help you. You know, it really is. I mean, I think the banks are going to do the same a lot of times, but I think credit unions are more about helping this community. It's a local Oregon thing, you know? So,
yeah, I always tell people the answer is always no, if you don't ask.
So we've kind of gone over a broad overview of some things. I want to give an opportunity to remind people that they can, they can access you as a credentialed financial advisor. Is that correct? So they can come in and talk to you or someone at the branch.
Yeah. I mean, we're not licensed. I mean, we don't have any, I'd like to clarify that we're not like certified financial planners or anything like that, but any of our branches, my branch here in Springfield, I've got 6 employees here. They're all extremely knowledgeable. They have the resources. They will sit down and take the time to hear you out, hear what you're working towards, hear what your struggles are, and we'll come up with an idea. We'll come up with a plan. And maybe that plan is not with OnPoint. I mean, ideally it would be, but my team's going to point you in the right direction. We want you to succeed if it's paying off your debt, if it's buying a house, if it's buying a car, if it's saving for retirement, we're here to help. It's the credit union way, like we talked. You know, we're here for our members. If you want to come in and sit down with one of my employees right now and spend an hour or two going over what plan you have, what you want to do, what your life goals are, we'll sit down and go over it with you. That's what we're here for. Yeah. We're here to see people succeed financially. And it's a pretty amazing thing to sit here and watch my employees or myself, you know, talk to these people, get on the right track, have them come back and be like, I did it. Yeah. I paid this off. I'm buying a house.
Yeah.
I bought this car.
And you guys saved me.
That's what we're here for.
Saved me from a mess. And I'll be the first, I'm just going to, you know, it's a little embarrassing, but I fell for like a PayPal scam and all of my accounts were frozen and it was a nightmare. But you guys worked with me on getting everything shut down because I have, and I want to talk about one of my tips that really changed my life is that with how to manage credit cards. You have one of the benefits I mentioned before is OnPoint offers free checking. You can have more than one checking account. You can use one checking account to fund your credit cards so that if you're trying to get points, maybe you're getting better at how to use your credit cards and you want to use it to travel, you know, so you can have a secondary checking account and then just transfer money from your primary into that as soon as you swipe your card. And then on your credit card, transfer it to the other account, waiting for the day that the balance is due. Because if you pay it all in full right away, they don't like that. You know, so this is something that I've done. And my banking, it's very organized the way that I like it. But it would be chaos to anybody else that looked in. So potentially, because I have multiple accounts. I've got, you know, an LLC for my podcast. It's a separate business. And I wanted that linked. And you guys were capable of doing that. Because that's not under my name. It's a separate thing. I've got, you know, like I said, the funding source for the credit card. I've got my personal credit card. I got my barbershop stuff. I keep it separate so that I don't get confused so that my taxes don't make me pull my hair out. But, but I think that secondary credit card or checking account, I think people are like, why would you want that? That's so much. Keep a balance of $100 if possible as a buffer and just dump money into it to make payments to that credit card. And it really, that way the money's out of your consciousness, you know, and you can manage debt that way. And I've been traveling and I'm going to do an episode down the road about this, about how I travel by using points. And I've been able to go on 3 trips and I'm doing these things I would have never been able to do. And a lot of it has to do with managing debt.
And that what you're doing is fantastic. That's my wife and my budget. All of our bills go off of our credit card. Like all of our bills are auto paid on our credit card. And I move money I've got my bill, my budget. I got it broken up into, you know, hey, every paycheck, I need to transfer this much money. I move it to a second checking account. That's the bills that are hitting that credit card. End of the month, pay the credit card off. Money's out of the account. You get all these points and that takes a lot of dedication. I don't recommend that for everybody.
Well, it's not possible. Unfortunately, it's not possible for everybody. And I want to acknowledge that I understand that.
No.
That there's a lot of people that are going to be like, screw you, dude. Because, I mean, and I'm very fortunate the way that things have fallen into place in the last few years. But I've been there. I understand completely. And I will. Yeah. I know full well that I'm a broken finger away from being right back there. So it's, you know, I mean, it's so we're all very close to the line where we're like, I could lose it all at any moment. And so it's really scary. But that's why sometimes having a little bit of a handle on this is good, because those credit cards can help you in the, you know, as a backup, yeah, as an insurance and all that. So Brad Unger, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, to your point, I we're all close to that. I'm like, I tell people too, and your listeners, you are not alone. Don't be embarrassed to come in here and chat with us.
Yes.
Like, if you're struggling and you're at the edge of that financial cliff, we've seen it all, you know, don't be scared. Come in, chat. Don't let it get to the point where you're just like, you know, at your wit's end of, how do I get rid of this debt? What do I do? Come talk to somebody. If we'd love you to come in here at On Point, we'll talk to you all day long. Even if you're not a member, go to your financial institution. You are not alone. Everybody, and I shouldn't say everybody, lots of people have been in your shoes, me included. There's ways out of it. Don't feel like you're stuck. Come talk to somebody.
Right.
Come talk to us.
Right. Right. And I mean, it's possible, you know, and I hope some of these tips have helped people today. I hope that they can implement some of them. I'm a big fan of you guys at On Point Community Credit Union. Brad Unger, thank you so much for being a guest. And then, hey, maybe next year we'll have you back.
Yeah, thank you. I'd come back anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to get out of here. This is my new Christmas song. This is me, Patty Rose, with Christmas Time.
Without any reason, but I can find joy around the holiday season. I just feel blessed to be invited and alive. So let's remember to cherish our graces. However you celebrate, with food in our faces, be with one or two or only you. You are not alone on Christmas Day. You're not alone on Christmas Day. You're not alone on Christmas Day. Alone on Christmas Day. Never alone on Christmas Day. Christmas time is here again. Christmas time is here again.
We got eggnog spills, we got cheap toy thrills, we got clean up on aisle four. We got happy faces staring at the graces of my gifts, but what was in store? Got the family together, fighting, driving in this weather, and who was approaching at the door? It was you, it was you, it was you, 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 you. It was you, it was you, it was you, 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 you. I don't think you're special if the holidays are difficult. Pick the asylum, I can introduce you to the cult. The friends and family, for all of us, is life's challenges, the balances. You got to appreciate them, they're the only true folks that you get. Uncle Tommy got a beard, a great hug from Grandma. Here are some cousins you haven't met yet. Go get the table set, please. Christmas time is here again. It's time to call the next of kin. It's time to plan our exits when we bust out the Tupperware. We are aware of the red herring staring back at us in the face. We are aware of the red herring. This place is getting crowded. Christmas time.